from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope.
It's nothing you did.
It's not you, it's me.
It's not you, it's you, but you didn't cross me.
And the Bulldog.
Why did I choose? Why did I just stay in school?
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
What's up, week one? Enough with all the
vacations.
Repetitive, well, yes, vacations, quote, days off. And just also the droning repetition of the offseason, I'll go with. Just, just thinking, I wonder who's going to catch the ball for the Bills. 803-0550. we're about to find out.
What do you think of the receiver core?
I said on Thursday and then Friday, because I'm that original, like this is last call, you know? Like this is the end of the offseason. Next week, it's details. It's point spreads and weather and what will they wear and who's announcing, all that good stuff.
Injury reports.
Injuries, of course.
Right.
Most important of all, although the announcers are big. Very big. We have Ross.
Yes.
This week.
Fresh off a short trip, I'm assuming, to Hawaii.
I don't know how fresh. We'll ask him at 5.
Right. But he's calling this game for CBS,
yep.
And he's going to be in town. We'll tell you more about that when we get to 5 o'clock with Ross, but he's got an event out near the stadium, I think, on Thursday, right, for the opener.
Yep.
So we can fill you in on that.
What are events like?
There's usually drinks. Often there's someone speaking, through a microphone so you can hear them.
I've been to events.
Yeah, I think, yeah. It's event season.
Is it?
And it's always event season. There's always events.
You know what else it is? It maybe not in my case or yours, but it's like, okay, what time are we getting there?
You mean Sunday?
Where are we parking?
Yeah.
The diehards, they know where to park. Like we've done this every year.
Got their spots.
But, what time? Who's going? Who's not going? Is it going to rain? Maybe. There's that.
Some of that's been a little messed up by the construction, too.
Like, yes.
Parking is a little different, for some people, anyway.
The new stadium, I'm here to predict, is the new Niagara Falls. That when you're watching a home Bills game on TV, always once there's a picture of Niagara Falls coming back from a commercial break. This year, there might be, but the new stadium will definitely get the same sort of respect.
Sure, yeah.
Look what's happening across the street. The NFL and its media partners can't wait to tell you about this publicly funded, huge undertaking happening across the street that was, quote, necessary. Mm-hmm. They cannot wait to tell you that. So you're getting, fed that. Well, Get ready for that.
The machine will work hard at that. Yes, it always does.
Yes. And as opponents go, it's a little bit of a guess, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
There's not tons of history. It's not like Miami is next week. Miami's easy. Just, week 18 last year, playoffs the year before, all the history, mostly the same important
guys. We know what you're trying to do. We got a pretty good handle on that. Yeah, Arizona's got a new offense and some new parts and a quarterback who missed a lot of last year, who's been, capable of being excellent at times when he's been healthy. So, yeah, it's a little... it's hard to sort of get your hands around it, I think.
How does it feel?
Just a little bit. A little scary.
Is your week, your it's day to little, be little, sort of
little,
nervous?
A little scary. Just because it's unknown. Like, I don't know. I might stupidly have a ton of confidence if they're playing Miami because I know what to expect. But I don't really know what I'm going to get here with Arizona. And
or Buffalo.
Right. And that's the other part. Like if the Bills hadn't experienced this tumultuous offseason that we have been talking about for months, it's not just the receiver room either, but you know, a lot of the roster has changed. I think I'd be, and again, I might be stupid to be doing this, but I'd be sitting here on the Tuesday before the opener going, it's Arizona. Fine. Like, what's the spread? 6.5? They'll cover that easy. I'm not worried. You know, the Bills are good. We know it's bankable. I don't know what's bankable. Like, it's you know, it's not quite a clean slate here. I mean, there are still a lot of familiar names and faces, but the offense is new. The skill players are mostly new. And that's a lot. That right there in and of itself is big. I've got guys who I've not really seen play any kind of prominent role. Even Shakir's not had a prominent role on this team. I mean, Kincaid and Knox are staples. We know who they are. And Kincaid in just 1 year has become a staple. But it's just all it's all so fresh, you know? Like I don't know what I've got coming out of the chute here. And it's not just Arizona. Like again, if the Bills were what the Bills have been the last 4 years going into the season, right? Hyde and Poyer are still there. Trey White's healthy. Von Miller's healthy. Everything's just full speed ahead. I probably would be overlooking Arizona. But because the Bills aren't any kind of a known thing, at least as far for my comfort anyway, it's definitely not how it's been. Maybe they're known enough, you know, Allen, McDermott, some of the pieces on defense, but it's a weird. I feel uneasy because of that. Not so much Arizona being unknown, but not really knowing what the Bills are.
I'm not trying to corner you. You're just back from a long break. Staple is an interesting word for Kincaid. Don't you think?
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, you also used the word bankable in that commentary, like about how bankable are the Bills. That's a great word too. I don't know how bankable he is. I don't know how much of a staple he is. I like thinking about in a perfect season, there should be a really high ceiling for him because they don't have anybody else like exactly in that capacity that should be, you know, yards per catch guy. Like Kincaid has the potential for that, but it's always awkward because you have to force it. Some. You have to have, I mean, is Knox on the field, all this stuff. Maybe we're still not off the repetition of the offseason. Like, it's just, you know, it's not Diggs. It's not somebody, it's not Jamar Chase. Well, he's, how bankable is Jamar? I know. I don't know about Kincaid. Like, I need proof that Joe Brady knows how to do that. Because they tried. The uptick on Kincaid last year, even it took forever. But the trend up on him was that they tried. That by the end of the season, they were using him in a more dangerous role. And so you've got to see that. I just don't know if that pays off. Like just what that looks like with all the other everybody eats business, you know. So that's a big one. It's one of the biggest questions about the season is Kincaid.
Yeah, well, as I was talking, I even sort of backed up as it flew out of my mouth. Like Kincaid, we know what he is, and like that we got to be able to count on that. And I don't know how I phrased it there. Is that where I got the bankable? I don't know, but yeah, it's kind of he's there already. Like that's the point. Like he has to matter. I think it's possible, really. And this has been kind of an undercurrent throughout the spring and summer when we have exhaustively talked about who is going to catch the ball for this team. Like who's going to be scary for their opponents. Kincaid is always there while we're, you know, trying to figure out, should they go get Brandon Ayuk? Should they go? And I don't think either of us have ever really disputed the idea that he'll be their leading pass catcher. It's just more of a question of how much, like what is that number going to be? Is that going to be 110 or is that going to be 90 or 75 or like what are we looking at?
He'd be a slight favorite to me just to you know, off of that point, he'd be a slight favorite to me, or not even minus money, but just the shortest odds to lead them in catches. But there might be three other guys who are close.
Yeah.
I think. I don't think it's a given. I think the Kincaid season I want, he doesn't lead them in catches because he's big plays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone else does. because most of what he's giving you is 15 yards down the field. That's what I want. And not just like little swing passes, like the flat route king, as Matt Waldman called him.
The way it started, yeah.
For right. 3 months yeah. last year. That can't happen.
Yeah.
Use Knox. Use anybody. Use Curtis Samuel. Use anybody else.
Use your running backs. Yeah, right.
Use your running backs. So I want him to lead them in yards, but not catches.
Yeah.
Somehow that makes sense to me.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. Like, I think it's still so up in the air, but it does feel at least possible, as I've said, the whole time it has felt possible that, you know, if you were to imagine Joe Brady listening to this all off season.
I do.
About, you know, if you imagine him, he might be just sitting there going, Dalton Kincaid. It's like, that's gonna, don't worry about it. Dalton Kincaid. He's more of a receiver than he is a tight end, and this we're gonna show you. I know that is like, you know, Zubaz colored glasses. But it's possible, like, that's where they've landed. Like, we're not that worried about making a trade for a number one receiver because we think we got a guy that is gonna be able to really do a lot for us, and maybe he's that guy. I don't know.
They are in they have pushed in their chips. If that's, I mean, you don't even really have to wonder. I always couch it with, like, you can't just do everything you want with the roster, but this is what they've done, and so there is some level of that confidence over there. There has to be, you know, they're going to be confident in themselves one way or another. Whatever mm-hmm. they have planned, they think will work. And because of Allen affords them that, whether it might burn them, but Allen affords them that confidence where we think we know whatever we do here will work.
Mm-hmm.
He'll save us. But there are degrees of that, you know. You can have a great quarterback, but struggle to move the ball. That's Kansas City last year. People have made the Kansas City comp all summer
mm-hmm.
with what the Bills are at receiver now. You know, it didn't go well. I know they won the Super Bowl. That's really hard for my argument. But they did not have a good offense.
Week over week, their offense was not what it had been at all.
They did not have a good offense. So I don't want that. I don't want to be last year's. Listen to me. I don't.
In January, you do.
I don't. I do. I don't. I don't know. You drafting Kincaid tonight then after all this?
I mean,
get ready for that question
really,
all day.
It really depends what the app says. And I
it does.
Know. We'll have to,
is it a Zubaz colored app?
We'll just have to wait and see. I don't know what we're going to do there.
It is Tuesday. It's possible you thought we forgot because it's confusing when there's a holiday. But normally 3 o'clock Tuesdays, reverse AFC power rankings. 4 o'clock today is the plan for that. Thought we'd sort of get warm. Bulldog's been away. It's week one. It's different. Trista Crick will join us at 3:30. We'll talk about some of the week one lines and props and that sort of stuff. Trista, I want to say, and she's been on a few times recently, kind of consistently has been pro-Bills this summer. The word the word of the year in this kind of context is FUDded. I hear that word all the time now. I'm not even sure it's an actual word, but FUDded. If somebody is, you know, making the bear case.
Okay.
They're down on your guy. They're down on your team. They're FUDding that person. They're FUDding that team.
That's like the opposite of Stan, maybe.
I guess.
Okay.
It's the opposite of hype. All right. They're FUDding. So the Bills are getting FUDded, I think.
Sure.
I mean, it just seems we've got somebody's simulations to 7-10. Somebody went on Rich Eisen and said third place. You know, it's like
Jets are the favorite.
It's kind of like, been
right,
sort of
division
inching that way all summer. And they didn't ultimately do that other thing at receiver. I mean, they lost Milano. That's big. I mean, you have to say that. Doesn't necessarily mean they're going to lose three more games, something like that. But it's not good. You know, people are worried about the kicker now. That's something else.
That's not unreasonable, in my opinion, to be worried about him at this point.
No, I wouldn't say it's unreasonable. I still think it's a choice, but yeah. Stephon Diggs is named a captain in Houston. You know, you can definitely find the stuff that can not make you want to sort of feel good. But anyway, they play Arizona Sunday at 1. Would you take a 20-17 win? Would you take any win?
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. It's September. They have a long way to go. And I think given how new they are, at some key positions and even maybe philosophically, right? I mean, different coordinator, two different coordinators if you want it. I mean, Babich is going to call plays, right? We do know that now. So you've got a lot of, I think there's a lot of opportunity. Opportunity is not the right way to say it. But I think it's more realistic than it's been other years to look at this team as a team that will evolve as the year goes on. And they will eventually find out, I think, despite all the everybody eats and everyone's going to catch 44 and a half passes or whatever, you know, they've never said it that way, but it's just, you know, everybody eats. That's what that sounds like to me. We're all equals. We don't have a number one. You know, by Thanksgiving, they're probably going to have somebody who is leading them in receptions and is the guy that Allen leans on when it's 3rd and 7 or whatever. Like, guys will emerge, other people will fade away, like, things will change, and it will evolve as the year goes on. So I'm not that worried at this point in September about style points. Just get me wins. And, you know, yeah, I'm gonna want you to look the part eventually. But if you're squeezing out field goal victories here in September and October, I mean, I reserve the right to still get freaked out about different things. But am I going to really be worried about it week one? No.
I think that's right. I think you take whatever you can get Sunday. I think that's right. Would you take 3-2? He's looking. I hear clicks. You're clicking. I actually see you, by the way. It's not like I could get away with that when you're working at home every day, but I actually see you looking at the computer, looking up the schedule. At Miami, Jacksonville, at Baltimore, at Houston.
I don't think I can lose two of those games.
Wow. You're an underdog in three.
Yeah.
You won't take two losses, including this Arizona game you just sort of spoke.
Yeah, I don't.
Nervously about.
I don't know. I don't think I want to settle for 3-2. I mean, Miami and Jacksonville, come on. Like, I should be better than them.
I think Miami is a really tough spot.
Short week.
They both have a short week. You travel and just like, man, it's vibes based, right? This is not analytics.
They got to really want to put one
on
you, right?
Holy cow, after last year. Right. It was their year.
Yeah.
And you ruined it again. You're Lucy with Charlie Brown in the football. Yeah. Like, you just, even they're scoring 70 points. Everybody's talking about the Dolphins. What happens? No. I think that's a really tough one. Because they're good. I mean, it's not like they're not good.
They're good. I like them to have more wins than the Jets this year, which isn't, a super popular position anyway. At least, certainly not in this room. We have a bet on that, actually. But I'm not as bullish on the Jets as a lot of people. I like Miami, but yeah, I got four of those games are conference games.
You can't lose two?
I don't think I want. No, I don't think to start the year that way. It's not. It's Miami and Jacksonville. I got to find a way to win one of Baltimore or Houston, and then, you know, there's this opener that we're talking about, which I still don't know how to put my hands around it. But assuming the Bills are going to have a decent year, I don't think 3-2 is the kind of start I want to have. There's room for them to get better as the year goes on, like I already said, but the schedule also here's pretty daunting down the run, you know, once you get to November.
The thing about my little favorite toy here, would you take, is it's two different things. It's in the season you want to have, like you're saying, is that going to be good enough? And you're saying no. I don't think to have the year I want to have, I can afford 3-2. Another way to look at it, though, is it good? And it is good. I mean, if you're an underdog three times and you win three games of those five games, it's not like that's not a good result. It just, you know, it's your choice. It might not be good enough for what you think is going to happen down the road. So you would take 4-2, I bet.
Sure.
At the Jets the next week. Mm-hmm. Also an underdog as the season starts. Bills are an underdog in four of their first six games. They are rarely, in the last few years, an underdog four times ever. So you would take 4-2. Would you take 6-4? No. You wouldn't take 6-4 then with Kansas City and San Francisco to follow.
No. And the Rams and the Lions. No. Yeah, no. I think that's why I don't want 3-2.
Would you take 8-6? New England, Jets, New England. That puts you right at the win total.
Yeah.
And probably, almost definitely the playoffs. Unless New England is surprisingly good. Even then, it's still going to be, you know, games you'd expect to win. You get to 8-6.
8-6 from 4-2. How have I done there? Like, I've gone 4-4 from 4-2.
Yeah.
So that's not great. And
it's not just Chiefs, Niners, Rams,
right.
Lions.
Tennessee, Seattle, Miami, Indy are the four games before that Chiefs game, which is before the bye. So you should, I mean.
NFC West is tough this year for your schedule, right? All those teams are at least interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm terrified of San Francisco. I respect the hell out of the Rams. Mostly, I just love Stafford so much. And the skill, you know, the receiving core looks great with Nacua and Cooper Kupp. Although, I don't know, that's week 14. Who knows?
Sounds like you're not drafting Jordan Whittington
what
tonight.
You're dealing with by then. But, yeah, even Seattle, like, that just feels like a tough trip.
Yep.
You know, whatever you think of the team is certainly respectable enough, I think. But like that and the trip, just okay. You know, I'm not assuming I'm just going to go handle them, even though I don't. That's a game that they're favored in at this point, aren't they?
Yep.
Right? But I'm not going to feel like we're on cruise control.
They're not going to be favored in the Niner game. These are all the underdog games are all like a field goal or less. It is what it is.
Yep.
Niner game at the Lions are probably another one. So they could be an underdog maybe six times. I don't know if it's more than that. Might not even be Kansas City. If it is, that's seven. That's a chunk.
Yep.
Well, the time for speculation is nearing its end. But I guess it's not quite over, is it?
No. No.
I don't need to deny, you know, the impulse to sort of guess at the season, guess at Sunday. That's fun. Trista Crick coming up now with Octagon. We'll talk to Trista, talk some week one, Bills Cardinals, other games. One of the fun things about today, maybe you've already been doing this, but, you know, for us, we had the holiday. Today is my day to get sort of back into that. And it's looking around the schedule. Miami, Jacksonville, New England, Cincinnati, the Jets at San Francisco on Monday night next week. Ian Harditz, who's been on with us many times from Fantasy Life, ranked Arizona Buffalo as the second best fantasy game, at least, of the week behind Baltimore, Kansas City. That wasn't just fantasy context, like sort of everything put together, fantasy being a part of it. But Baltimore, Kansas City, great matchup. You know, the season is here. But then Kyler Allen.
Right.
Could be
Marvin Harrison Jr.'s debut. He only played, like, what, four snaps in the preseason? So, like, that's very much an unwrapping of a new...
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Toy.
Yeah, I love it. I wanted this game. When we got close to the schedule unveiling, I thought Arizona would be a lot of fun. And I still do. So Trista, also Ross Tucker today at 5, setting up the season. As Bulldog mentioned, he'll be on the CBS broadcast this week. And he's excited about that, I know. And then Paul Hamilton will join us at 6 to preview tonight's annual WGR draft. The last draft of the year. I mean, come on. Who's drafting anymore? This is it. We're squeezing it in, just in time. We always draft on this Tuesday, actually.
We've drafted on, it's been on this the Thursday a few times. I remember before I was even in the league being on Thursdays. But even a couple times, I remember being out to watch the opener with you guys.
Yes, you have to declare if you just drafted somebody, you have to declare if he's going to start for you as the game is getting going.
Right.
All right, back with Trista after a break. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, glad to have you. This is WGR.
First and foremost, just eliminating the run, making the guys one-dimensional just like any other game. And once you make a team one-dimensional, knowing exactly what they'll do, given situation, it gives us a chance as a defense to really pin our ears back and do exactly what we would like to do.
That is Roquan Smith of the Ravens, who open, of course, with Kansas City Thursday night. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here on WGR.
Run and stop the run, playing the Chiefs. Good luck with that.
You know, I saw this guy's take like immediately sort of debunked, right? What is he supposed to say? What's the answer?
We're screwed.
I mean, just what?
I'm scared.
Play well.
Hold me.
Hold me. Beat your man. Okay, so it's not stop the run. We can prove that that's wrong.
I could use a hug.
But what is he really supposed to say?
Yeah,
what a trap question. How do you stop Mahomes? I don't know. Has anybody done it? I don't know. I think it's probably impossible.
The Chiefs kind of did it last year, I think, maybe.
But I know, like, if I played defense on the Ravens and got that question, I'd have a tough time. If I'm anybody else, I know what I'd say. I got a guy, too. Lamar Jackson, 7-0 against the spread as an underdog over 3 years. Hasn't happened very often, as you can tell by that. But I got a guy, too. So we'll see what happens. Let's play. Let's play ball. Right, Trista? Let's play ball. Let's go. Week one.
That's right.
Come
That's
on.
Lamar Jackson, 51-30-2 in the first half against the spread in the entire career, which is the best quarterback in the first half. He was 13-5 first half against the spread. I like the full game. I like Lamar to cover that 3. Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, the Chiefs in September are not – I mean, you guys know this. The Chiefs in September are not a team that lights the world on fire against the spread. So from a betting perspective, I'm not laying it with Patrick Mahomes.
How are you today, by the way?
I'm happy Bulldog's back.
Me too.
Hi. I've missed you.
I'm really happy. The gentle giant has returned.
Gentle giant. Wow.
Your past didn't exactly align when we did the fantasy draft.
We got to get to know each other better. That's not going to stand.
Then he missed last week.
Gentle giant.
But here we go. Week one. It's all happening.
Don't act like you're not sensitive.
Oh, sure. No, sure. I am. But yeah.
It's definitely apt.
So funny story, though. So my mom was listening to our hit last week, right? Mm-hmm. And she didn't know it was a hit. That's how good it was. She thought we were just on the phone, like me and you, show. She was like, "You guys were just chopping it up.
That's the
best.
You guys
were just on the phone." And I was like, "No, we were doing a hit on the radio."
Yeah, well, that's a great compliment. I think
I agree
to us both.
Good thing I wasn't here. To let my gentle giant
That's why Trista had the defensive instinct to say quickly how happy she was that you're back. Maybe.
You know, I'm good at cleaning up on aisle 6.
Right? Yes. Well, Trista, I said this to Bulldog on the air, if your mom wasn't listening earlier, about you, that I sort of have listened to you sort of be, you know, more especially optimistic about the Bills this year. You can tell there's a lot of doubt in the air, but, you know, you've been pretty optimistic, pretty confident in them, as I've heard it. Here we go, week one. And there's still plenty of that speculation that's negative about them with their free agent losses and the Diggs trade and better competition in the division, tougher schedule, all of this. Is it right to hang in there, though, and, you know, chin up?
I mean, I think anytime you have Josh Allen in an elite defense, I think you feel good. I think especially when you're dealing with a very suspect division, right? Like, there's a lot of people very excited about the Jets right now. I am going to have to see it before I believe it, right? That offensive line for years now has either been not good or banged up. And maybe you say to me, okay, well, that was with Zach Wilson, and now we're going to get Aaron Rodgers, a fully healthy year for him. And I say, like, we'll see how Aaron Rodgers is if the offensive line collapses. So for that team, I'm going to need to wait and see. And then you're talking about the Dolphins, and the Dolphins have lost a lot of weapons, a lot of defensive guys, and new defensive coordinator. That whole thing was a mess. So do I feel like the Dolphins are a shoo-in to win the division? No, I don't. So as long as you're figuring things out, I mean, we know that Josh Allen's going to run as, like, probably either the top runner or the second top runner in on your team. But not, he's going to be the weapon, right? Like, but on top of that, okay, you've got Dalton Kincaid. You've got Dawson Knox. I think those will be the guys that you go to. You got Shakir. And so, like, without Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs, am I worried? Yeah, sure. But I also know that division itself is quite suspect.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you on the Jets. I see what everybody sees, the roster, how good it was, how many games they won with the worst quarterbacking you can almost imagine the last year and even the year before that. But yeah, I'm skeptical about 41 years old Achilles tendon, and the linemen that they brought in to stabilize the thing have got terrible injury histories, at least on the outside. So yeah, I'm also, you know, it's the Jets, you know, I respect Miami. I think they'll win their games with that offense, but I'm not scared of them. If Rodgers is right and that pops, then the Jets could really be an intimidating force, but I'm like you. I'm going to need to see it. Like I just don't buy it yet.
Also, let's not act like we're not seeing what's going on Twitter, right? That the locker room is in disarray. That they're turning on each other. They're saying Aaron Rodgers is a bad leader. You have all these Jets beat reporters sort of echoing something weird. Something like, I think it's a level of more weird over and above what we saw from the Eagles last year, and we know that was quite weird, especially at the end of the season. Things fell apart pretty quickly, so I'm going to need to see happiness and function and stability and Saleh making good decisions and Nathaniel Hackett staying the hell out the way before I feel like I can put even a single dollar on the Jets. Meanwhile, though, I will say that in terms of the Cardinals, I think they're being slept on, and I think that they're better than a lot of people think, and I would not be surprised if they covered the 6.
Are you thinking more futures or Week 1 right now? Because it's time to wrap on futures. Like, I mean, you're talking about Arizona. I'm looking at passing yard over-unders, and, you know, Murray's somewhat modest 34-50. He really didn't run as often like a lot of these guys, like Prescott, as he's gotten a few years into his career. And we love Harrison so much, like, maybe that's a sitter at that number. I'm not saying it is, just sort of, it feels good. Are you thinking sort of putting a cap or putting a bow on futures thoughts, or is it more just like, all right, what are the lines this week?
For me, I've always been game to game, but what I will say is if I'm in Oregon now, right now, at this very moment, where offshore kind of is much more prevalent, right? I think there's only one sports book in Oregon outside of, like, the casinos, right? So if I was to get an offshore account where I could put up no money and place futures bets, I would do that a lot. If I have to put the money up, I'm not doing it at all. I want my money back within, like, the week, maybe 2 weeks ahead. In terms of the futures bet I actually like on the Cardinals, I like that win total. I think there's a lot of people who like that win total over that were on BetMGM tonight as well. Me and Ryan talked about the Cardinals a lot, but you're right. Like, they've got weapons. I think Marvin Harrison is going to be able to do just as much, if not more, than we saw from D-Hop at the tail end of his time there.
What is the total on Arizona? 7.5?
I saw 6.5.
6.5, okay. Yeah, that's so nice.
It would not be inconceivable for them to win 7 games. It would not be inconceivable for them to win
10.
8 or 9 games.
All right, sorry, I went right to 10. I didn't mean to rush you.
I think you want to look at, I mean, who am I to tell you this, but you want to look at the divisions that they play. You know, what do you think? You're talking about the Jets. People are soft on the Bills, maybe relatively, or even the Dolphins. That's 4 of New England, too. That's 4 Arizona games. So sometimes you'll get that kind of an imbalance where one division, just their numbers will be inflated because the division they lined up with was weak. Maybe that happens here. I'm not saying it does because I like the Jets more than you. But, you know, that's one thing you'd want to consider.
That's going to be a long-running thing with us, Bulldog, is me and him, me and you versus him.
Yeah, I mean, They have a back around the Jets again. We can't escape them.
It's the receiver, the Bills receiver room, and the Jets. I feel like I'm
talking to Craig Carton right now.
I'm trying to think of a comeback.
You don't have one.
I don't. No. Jets schedule at San Francisco Monday night week one. Then processing
four and a half.
Lagging.
The number's 4.5. I think the Jets will cover that number. I know Trent Williams just got extended, so that number's moved a little.
Yep.
But I think the Jets are live in that game when you're talking about guys who have been holding out, not at camp. I think in general, though, we can make this a broader conversation and say maybe in the first 4 to 5 weeks, you think about fading the teams with a guy or multiple guys that are impactful who have been not at camp because they've been in contract disputes. Because I think there's going to take some time. You can't just do nothing and come in and be and I know Trent Williams is very, very good, but I don't think you can just come off the street and all of a sudden go up against the top three, top five defense and be able to hold your own at an age where he's starting to get a little long in the tooth.
15th year in the league. If they win that game, though, look out. I mean, you want to talk about whether this is going to be our thing. At Tennessee, New England, Denver, Minnesota in Europe, that's the first five games. So if they win in San Francisco.
I'm going to need the Niners to not allow that to happen.
we need the Niners. The like fever pitch will be at an all-time high if the Jets go to San Francisco and win game one. I mean, the overreactions on every TV show. I mean, this station as well. I'm sure Shope will be just taking victory lap after victory lap.
I would do so very carefully.
I would just be overcome with sadness because I would be out of Joe Ostrowski's survivor pool in week one.
Okay.
One?
I'm going with the Niners. I'm going on brand. I know it's not the easiest game on the board at all, but I'm going on brand. I don't believe in the Jets. They're going to San Francisco and beating the 49ers. It's a team I don't believe in. No, of course they're not.
Do I have time to still get into that Survivor League? Do I still have time?
I'm not in it yet, so maybe. I think you'll probably take anybody. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of money in those Survivor Leagues.
Yeah.
I went in last week to just make sure because he changed carriers, so he had to like create a new account with a new app that runs it for him. And I was in there and was like, "All right, let me look at the games." And I'm like, "All right, that's it. I'm doing that." It's not in-depth analysis. I'm not buying the Jets, so no, there's no way they win that game.
I do like it, Trista.
There's probably $50,000 to the winner, and he says he's not doing in-depth analysis.
I think it might be more. I like the idea of that game as a pick, though. I like Bulldog's case for picking that game. You never want to pick the biggest spread, I think, which is Cincinnati at 9, if the Bills at 6, and then you've got a couple 4, 4.5. Actually, Dallas is close to. No, that's not this week. Sorry, I'm looking at MGM, and they just jumped to right like Thanksgiving games.
You're looking forward to the game of the year type stuff.
Right, Dallas at Cleveland this week.
Right, Cleveland is favored 2.5. I see here.
So I think it's a good play. If that's how you feel, a 4-point favorite is a good play.
I kind of like Cleveland in that spot as a survivor pick because I may never want to pick Cleveland again.
Right.
Yeah, that's a rule too, and usually in these things too, you can only pick a team once.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Trista, this is all very exciting. We're so glad to have you with us again throughout the season. Any questions for us?
What are you guys watching
right now?
Oh,
what TV?
I am back in time. Nothing new has grabbed me since I think I finished The Bear season 3, and so I restarted The Sopranos. But it's been my TV watching time in the summer is minimized because I'm outside on my bicycle instead of in the basement on a trainer, and that's when I watch these shows. So I'm only in like I don't know season 2 episode 5 of Sopranos, but that now that I started I'm gonna just run that all the way through.
It's so funny because I was watching The Bear, and I was talking to my friend about the. So a character that was a minor character in this new season of The Bear, who is Sergeant Bautista in Dexter. And I was like, man, he was so good in Dexter. You got to see Dexter. So I rewatched Dexter. And And then that led me to now watch Chuck, because the woman that falls in love with Dexter, who's like has killed like every husband or whatever in season 8, she's in Chuck, and she's like smoking. So she's like, I guess I think she's a spy, and she's with Matt Bomer. So I literally just started watching Chuck.
Right.
Shope, what you watching?
I actually have one this time, and it started last night, but I got hooked into it pretty fast. Only Murders in the Building.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's good with Steve Martin
and Martin Short and
Selena Gomez.
All right.
And Selena Gomez. Yeah, they have multiple seasons of that, too. That's pretty, it's very hokey, but it's good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's me.
Hokey and good. Hokey
but good.
Me, I'm gentle and giant.
And watching crime dramas.
All right.
Yes. Are you guys on? What do you
think? This is a crime drama.
Should I lay it with the Bills or should I not?
I don't think I could.
Yeah. I don't think so either.
Six? I don't think I could.
Let me ask you this. If you lose to the Cardinals week one and you guys go on, you know, right after the game, what is the mood?
I mean, fire is raining from the sky.
Yeah. I think so.
That's the mood.
Yes, I think so. Yeah.
Unofficially.
Yeah.
Unofficially.
It's raining fire. Yes.
Raining fire.
Yes.
Arizona? What?
Yeah.
Arizona.
Who's Arizona? When did they get in the league?
I'm telling you, Arizona has slayed tougher dragons at different times in the season. I would not.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying, like, I don't think it should be fire raining from the sky.
I think it's an exciting time to be them. You know, and they're kind of the two teams are kind of opposites in like perception right now. Is one is just an upstart, but maybe, and the other is, I don't know, do they still have it?
They haven't done it yet.
It's just sort of opposite directions, but that doesn't mean they're the better team, the Cardinals. We don't know yet. Trista?
I hope I'm wrong about Keon Coleman. That's all I'm going to say. I really hope I'm wrong.
You're not bullish on him.
Right now, no. Everything that I've talked to my nerd people about, they don't love a lot of different factors that we don't have time to get into right now.
Next
week, perhaps.
We'll see what happens this week. Thank you, Trista.
Thank you.
Trista Crick from Oregon and Octagon right there on the WestHer hotline. 803-0550. How are you feeling about week one? We will have reverse AFC power rankings at 4, Ross Tucker at 5, Paul Hamilton at 6. No Sal today. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR. Welcome back. Push back an hour. Reverse AFC power rankings at 4. Last edition before the start of the regular season Thursday night. Not every week has it been. Have they been the top two teams or the bottom two teams? Baltimore and Kansas City, but that is a pretty nice opening night matchup. And it's go Ravens?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, the Chiefs lost the opener last year, and they won the Super Bowl.
They did. The Ravens won 13 games.
How much, if any, college football did you get your eyes on this weekend?
I watched a little bit of Vanderbilt beating Virginia Tech.
Yeah, that result cost me about $3,400.
Really?
I had an 8-leg parlay, and that was the only game that didn't hit.
You probably were giving points.
I had Virginia Tech minus 12.5 or something like that.
Yeah. And they lost.
Yeah, they lost. So.
We don't have to, you know.
Yeah. Anyway.
At least it wasn't closer.
Yeah, right. It never looked good.
Funny that I would pick that game. I usually don't watch college football.
Right.
Maybe that was it.
Did you...
Lacrosse.
Did you happen to be tuned in at all during close to the end of the half? Either
that
half?
That game? No.
Either. Okay. There's a new 2-minute timeout.
Yes.
In college football.
Yes.
That I only found this out from Reese Davis. I can't remember, was he Notre Dame Saturday night, whatever game he was on. I don't remember which games were when. I watched a lot of college football, and Reese Davis was the one who I heard say, "There's a new timeout at 2 minutes at the end of each half that they've asked us not to call the 2-minute warning."
Right.
And I went, what's this now? What are we doing exactly? They've asked you not to call it the 2-minute warning.
Do you know why?
I saw I saw a quote from some NCAA mouthpiece that didn't make any sense at all.
He said,
"It's not a warning." What?
Right. It was. It's not meant as a warning in the same way it was when the NFL implemented it, because you didn't know how much time was left in the half when the NFL created a 2-minute warning. Like, you might not have known. All hey, right. It's only 2 minutes left, your guys. Like in a soccer game,
okay,
or something. Like, there's only 2 minutes. This is what we have left here. So I'm warning you. The game is almost over.
Okay.
And now you don't need that because there are clocks everywhere.
Yeah. But if you're still going to have a mandatory stoppage at 2 minutes,
it's going to be called the 2-minute warning.
Is there some reason? I mean, you're going to have to work a lot harder than that to tell me why it can't just be called the 2-minute warning. Why these broadcasters have been given information that implores them to please not call it a 2-minute warning. It's just idiotic. It's what everyone knows it as. Like, what? Don't try so hard. No, I've never taken, like, oh no, there's only 2 minutes to go. Like, I don't need to be warned.
Well, you would have in the 1930s.
It's a 2-minute warning.
In the 30s, you would have been terrified.
So stupid. Like, the stupidest thing from the weekend for me by a lot was that. And a couple of golf shots I hit that were pretty bad.
This is the 2-minute warning. George Halas in the sideline.
What? Darn it.
That's it. He's got some assistant keeping the time.
I had a play ready if there were 3 minutes, but 2 minutes? Well, I don't know what to do now.
I'd like more notice next time.
Just cut it out.
Buy a watch.
It's college football. Just shut up.
Yeah, it's a tough one there. Reverse AFC power rankings next. Ross Tucker as well coming up. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. 3-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.